Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 145, and the first episode of 2019. Happy New Year, everybody. Today is the New Year show, and we'll take a look back at 2018, look ahead at 2019, and of course, joining me for this adventure are my esteemed colleagues and co-hosts from Tennessee, Daniel Dark, and from Indianapolis, Michael West. You have
Hello.
The floor, gentlemen.
It's another lovely night to be here, man.
Yes. Yeah, we made it to a new year. Yeah, it's been a whole year since we've had an episode. we will be covering it all tonight. We look forward, look back, and we got some cool stuff to talk about in both topics. So where do you guys want to begin? Because tonight's kind of an open night, and yeah, we'll definitely take calls.
First question, how many times have you missed and put 18 on checks and stuff already?
I have not screwed up. Actually, that's an interesting thing you mentioned that, because I almost screwed up, because I had my last novella of the year that was coming right up, and I thought it'd be real cool to have it come out right on January 1st, kick off the new year. And so we released Tears in the Snow, which Ragnar Stormbringer e-book novella. And as going over the final checks on the layout, yeah, that was the one thing that almost slipped through, was the 2019 designation as far as the release date and when, you know, you file for the ISBNs and all that kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting the date set correctly. And so it was it almost caught me on that, but I did catch it in time, so no mistakes so far. Knock on wood.
Well, does this have a lycanthrope theme to it?
Well, I can't give away, you know, major spoilers. It may or may not have a little shape-shifting elements to it. You never know, but it definitely has a lot of wolves in it.
Okay, because it looks like a ring of werewolves around Ragnar there.
It's a very involved plot that has a very deep wolf theme in a very, very cold, far northern setting, and it's got a lot of stuff in it. Even got some little bit of passion too. So I think those that would like the those that like the romance and stuff will even get something in this too. So. But it's very wolfish. That's as far as I want to go, because I don't want to give away what the key plot points. But you would like it, Michael. I will say that you would like it a lot. It's got some definite. It does have horror, dark fantasy elements for sure. I mean, definitely. It's got a very intense side to it.
Well, that was my first. That was my first purchase of the new year. Was I put a deposit on a 1/4 scale howling statue.
Oh, man.
Only one of 400 in the world.
Is it the three werewolves in that one iconic shot, or what does it look like?
No, it's just one werewolf. He's kind of like stepping on a log, and there's like a skull in the mud at his feet. But it's over 2 feet tall.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because the Howling Werewolf...
Yeah, he said 1/4 scale.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, 1/4 scale. So, I mean...
Yeah, because I didn't know
how
they take a...
Well, because I had seen this statue. The statue is made by a third-party vendor, but Sideshow Collectibles is offering it. So I had seen it before, and I had gone to their site and wanted to order it, but they said that it was not available for order. Well, then it's available for order through Sideshow. So Sideshow, I've gotten some alien stuff through them in the past. So they always send me this, you know, hey, you would like this. And finally they sent me this that I would actually like. And I'm like, oh, only one of 400. I have to have it.
That is awesome. I love those werewolves. They've always been my favorite. My favorite werewolves of all time, and my favorite werewolf movie, mm-hmm. I'd have to say. I love the Howling. And I love the Greg Bradner novels that they come from.
Yeah, I mean, the when I grew up, as a kid, the two werewolf movies came out right the same year, The Howling and American Werewolf in London. And
oh, yeah.
They've always been my favorites. But while I like a lot of American Werewolf and I love the transformation in American Werewolf, the bipedal Big Bad Wolf style werewolf has always been my favorite.
Yeah, me too. And I was wondering, that's the reason I was asking you, because some of those scenes in The Howling, when the Eddie Quist transforms and catches the girl going through his file cabinet, and
right.
Obviously that scene is just iconic. And then the one where they pull away in the police car and it shows the three fully transformed werewolves stepping forward with the one in the middle howling. I think that was another iconic one. And yeah, I was very curious to see which pose they chose for the statue. But it sounds like you got a gem. It sounds like it's a really,
yeah,
really cool looking thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got the really piercing eyes and its mouth is open and its tongue's hanging. It's just it's gorgeous. It's like I have to wait.
Send that over to me, a picture of it, man. If you got a picture, because I'd love to just look at it.
Yeah,
that
I'll have
cool.
to do a screen grab and send it to you. But yeah, I have to wait until April to get it. But I'm hoping that I can take a photo with it and use it in some capacity.
Yeah. And you had John Carradine in that movie, too.
This is
good
a business expense, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
technically, it is. No,
yeah,
it actually is. You can make an argument for it based on the fact that Mike uses werewolves in his novels and getting a visual sculpture to use as a kind of like a model for descriptions and stuff. Absolutely.
Go.
He could actually use that as
that
a tax write-off.
That and events and stuff, too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to have different things
for
events.
It's not leaving the office.
No, but you could.
They don't have to know that, Michael.
One of 400 in the world, it's not leaving the office.
No, there are actually a lot of things that authors, the one area where authors get perks on is there are a lot of things that can be written off. I mean, it's you go wherever you can get an advantage, but yeah, that's stuff that nobody else would think of in their normal life,
well,
like memorabilia,
you know,
stuff. You can.
I used to be mm-hmm. a movie reviewer for Doorways Magazine when Doorways Magazine was a thing, and they would often provide me with the Blu-rays and whatnot to review, but anything that they didn't provide me that I bought myself, I could write off at the time because it was a business expense because I had to buy it to review it for, you know. So that was a nice little perk of being a movie reviewer is you could actually write off some of your movies.
Oh yeah, well anything like your books to like books like historical books or research oriented books or places
right.
you've gone to that you've used, you know, in a book, like if you're taking a vacation or something to a place that you end up using in a book or the statues, you know, for visual references, for descriptions. I mean there's a lot of stuff that you actually can legitimately claim, which is one of the few
right.
things.
Like
that's
a, you know,
actually
my
nice.
First purchase for the year was a new set of 1899 Collier's Universal Dictionary of English Language. It's a four volume set.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you write
that
time period.
That's
written off. Just,
yep, yeah. You write in that time period. Yeah, it's a legitimate deduction. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part of your research.
Did you buy that before then, the stroke of midnight?
That's nice.
I bought this one like it wasn't actually the new year yet. It was like, you know,
well, you
29th or something like that. So.
Okay. Yeah. So
26 minutes.
You can claim it on your taxes for 2018.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There aren't many advantages in the material world to being a writer, but this is one of the few areas where you do get a little bonus. It is nice, and yeah, you can get a few breaks on some stuff like that. But it's that sounds awesome. Yeah, and I can't say I have anything cool to tell you about as far as stuff I've gotten.
Well, I mean, Mike wins. I mean, still, but yeah,
but you have a,
hands down.
You have a new book. You have a new book coming out, so that's cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, that came out, and yeah, I'm going to be hitting the ground running. And well, 2018, I mean, just for the flashback personally, I mean, it turned out to be a bit of a productive year because I ended up counting the one that came out on January 1st, just, you know, yesterday. Yeah, total of 8 novellas and 1 novel, so that hit the shelves or even channels. So that's, you know, two print compendiums that grew out of the ebook novellas. So that's, you know, so 3 print titles and 8 ebook titles were released on my end. So that's not too bad.
That's,
you know, it's in an otherwise challenging year. That was
like
a bright light.
That's like my lifetime of writing, and you did it in a year.
Well, I hope no, I doubt that.
Well,
you've got quite a bit out there.
I exaggerate, but still, I mean, that's productive as hell there, Stephen.
Yeah, it definitely was a better year on the writing productivity. It was a mixed bag on all the other fronts, and obviously at the end of the year we had that big blow with Dubious and his hospitalization and surgery and all that. So it was an interesting year. I'm definitely hoping that 2019 is a little less crazy on some of those fronts, we'll see what happens.
I have a good feeling about 2019. I do.
Yeah, we had of course, the Imaginarium convention, I think, was the best yet, and it did grow a little bit larger, and that was a definite positive. We on the press side, we gave birth to our new imprint, Star Shadow, mystery and thriller areas, and that was so cool to kick that off with Dan Jolly being our first there. Had a lot of good new SSP titles and kept a pretty good rhythm in that area. So there were definitely a lot of positives. I mean, so no, yeah, I don't mean to sound too much like Debbie Downer. Mostly, yeah, the stuff with me was just, you know, just personal stuff on the home front, and yeah, just, you know, the Murphy's Law thing.
Well, you had the milestone this
time,
year with
yeah.
You know, you had the milestone this year with Imaginarium, so, you know.
And the certain good-looking plaque that you and Michael gave me at the convention, I'm staring at right now because it's framed and mounted up on the main office wall here.
Oh, very cool.
It is here. Yeah, it is here. So, yeah, and then Star Chamber show. I mean, we had about 50, you know, what I think we're just really, I mean, I think definitely our best year of shows. For sure. I mean, we had a really, really good year as far as the broadcasts go. I look back at the shows and the kind of guests we had and all, and I think it was definitely a very big positive on the podcast. And, of course, rotating with, you know, you and Daniel and Holly and all has been a blast. I love our group and doing these shows is definitely a wonderful break in the midweek for me. I look forward to it. So 2019, we're definitely hope to bring an even better year on the broadcast front.
Very cool.
But we had some good guests though. I look back on it and all throughout the year, I mean, you know, It's like, you know, we had a nice mix this year too. I mean, our core has always been, you know, the storytellers, the writers and authors and so forth. And that's been, you know, and that was reflected as majority of our guests were, but I think we did a good job of mixing in some different perspectives in the creative world, from filmmakers and artists to special effects people to even dancers. I mean, with, you know, when we had Ken Farrell and Sophia Noir and all, I mean, so we had a really nice mix of guests, I think, overall for the year. And well, I think that was a lot of fun. That was definitely a something new, I think, for 2018.
Yeah, I think probably my favorite shows of last year were the two holiday shows. We did the Halloween and the Christmas shows were a blast.
Yeah. It's hard not to have fun when you have, like, guests like Tony Acree and Tommy B. Smith. I mean, that's, yeah, speaking of the recent Christmas show, that was, Tommy and Tony, I mean, that's another cool thing about our show is, like, we have such a cool bunch that, you know, listen and call in, you know, what I would say regularly. I mean, we hear from Tony, you know, several times during the year, and he'll either be a guest or he'll call in out of the blue, or, you know, and the same thing with Tommy B. Smith, you know, he's another one. And that's one cool thing, I think, with the Star Chamber show is that the audience has gotten to know a few other personalities that, you know, like David, you know, Sheridan or Tony Acree or Tommy B. Smith, or, you know, very often in the chat room, you know, you'll see Kenzie Michaels, who wishes everybody a happy new year. She's in there right now, as a matter of fact. And then Carol Pre-Flattish has joined us from a bunch of shows. It's really cool, you know, when we see our regulars and get comments and stuff from them, either on the phone or chat room. I think that was an area that we, you know, we're pretty blessed with in 2018. We had a good group of other contributors beyond our co-host group.
And, well, you have the people from England and stuff like that too that are listening. So, you know.
Yeah,
we went international this year, so
it's just a tough timing with England, you know, with the 6-hour time difference. It would be great to get some live calls from them, or even like Jessica Lay down in Australia, because I know she listens into a few of the podcasts on our archive from time to time. But it's hard to get the timing right for the live calls, because that's
like it's already tomorrow there, so.
Yeah, yeah, she'll be calling from the future. She could tell us the outcome of all the sporting events so we can go gamble and get rich.
Well, that's why I was looking to her Facebook page on New Year's Day just to make sure that the world was still going to be here.
Yeah. Keep waiting for her to give me the sporting scores so I can just lay down a few bets in Vegas and clean up and shore up that end of my world. But she's not provided that info just yet.
Speaking of sporting
events,
I'm in heaven because my Pacers are doing good and my Colts made it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bite me.
I can say that I am safely out of the loop on every pro sport out there.
I know who his Colts beat, don't you, Stephen?
I couldn't tell you who's in the playoffs. I mean, I just don't watch the NFL.
Go ahead and tell
anymore.
Him, Michael, who the Colts beat.
We beat Tennessee to get into the playoffs.
Uh-oh. That's why he's chuckling. Yeah, Daniel's neck of the woods.
Were you at that game, Daniel?
No, I wasn't. I don't go to the games. I have a TV.
Okay.
A lot cheaper.
Well, that actually surprises me since it was a TV came after 1890.
Hey, my wife came after 1892. I have her too. So
yeah. Oh Lord. Well, that's
I've
good.
Got some things that aren't before the 1890s. So
Okay. you're well balanced.
Well, give us your thoughts on the last year, Mr. Dark, on either favorite shows or things that we evolved in, and think we did good?
One of the things that was a keynote to me this year was the launching of Raiden and being able to be at the premiere of that. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before or not, but it's a new TV pilot and everything that somebody did.
Yes, there was that. Yeah. Yeah. We did mention that in the show a few times. For sure. Yeah, definitely. But it comes up in conversation.
It it's one of those things that, you know, and then, you know, my little hospital stints that I had, you know, well, keynote 2018 to me. And then the, you know, release of my catch-up book, which, because of the hospital stints, you know, 90% of that book, my proceeds go to the Blood Banks of Tennessee because of it. You know, those are some things that 2018 will forever be in my mind about.
Yeah, and you had a venture with also in one of our regular callers that I mentioned earlier, not by name, but Matt Lashon, who just won a quite a nice award. But yeah, you had an adventure with him to BoucherCon and were off in Florida with him.
Yeah, where I had been nominated for an Anthony down there, but you know didn't make it past the nomination. But you know, it's great to be nominated for different awards and stuff like that. It's really nice. I've heard that if you ever win one,
Yeah, and congrats to Matt. Yeah, he won that Jack the Ripper one just a week or so ago. Really,
this week. This week was actually official announcement for it. So, yeah, he beat me out again. But if you have read his book is a very good book. Live and Uncut, Jack the Ripper, Live and Uncut, but Matt Lashon is an excellent book. If you haven't read it, you need to get it and read it. Right now, can only get them through Matt. So it is not out on public display right now. So.
Yeah, and I have one of the extra special only 10 copies exist edition that had a table of contents printed in the front, which I got from him at Imaginarium. So I'm hoping he gets well known so I can really sell that for some good bucks on eBay.
So that's the reason you just had him sign it Matt Lashon. You didn't want any signature in there. Okay. No, don't put the two in there. That's all right. You know, make it to E - Bay.
Yeah.
Hey, and we get to say in the first time on the Star Chamber show ever, hello to Rebecca Minton Westerman, who is a very talented writer, author, who was at Imaginarium this past year, and she has made it into the chat room for the first time here. So she's kicking off the new year the right way, spending time on the Star Chamber show. This is very cool. So, yeah, I've got new listeners joining us for the first time here on 2019. But,
new blood.
Yes.
and we're being as lame as we can for them, so, you know.
Yeah, please feel free to comment in the chat room if there were certain shows you liked last year, certain things that you liked about the show that evolved. Most of our shows, we actually did 90 minutes live with most of the guests, and we tend to go over 15 to 30 minutes afterwards, you know, with most of the guests. And so the archive versions usually had what I call bonus content. But hopefully,
one of the shows that we landmarked in 2018 was the one where Blog Talk Radio actually cut us off.
Which guest was on at that for that show? Because that was so funny. Yeah, we actually got cut off. We went so long on the after live portion of it.
Who was that?
I should know this. This is our look back at 2018 show. I should know this off the top of my head. But
I'm wanting to say it was somebody that you had in that we had several people call in to talk
yeah.
to.
We had
if Holly was there, she would know who it was. Because
yes, she would.
Because we had several people call in and harass him while we had him on the phone. had him. But then the other one that Silvio did about
Silvio
his new movie and stuff like that, which is he just released the
trailer for. Mm-hmm.
Trailer for this week, which looks really, really great. If you like war movies and stuff like that, be a very interesting story for you to look at.
Speaking of, I'm looking back at some of the list. Yeah, Jeffrey Mandragora. We had Colleen Green on last year. Let's see. We had Demetrius Witherspoon, Linda Sands, Peter Womerink, Taylor Gentry, Eric Kier. We had,
it may have been Eric's show that we went over so big on.
That could be. Yeah, Tony Acree. Yeah, you see him. Tory Jones. We had lots of folks some Christopher St. Booth and Rachel
Mike
Marie
Pettit,
Booth. That was a really good show. Tim Wagner
on
Halloween was epic. Michael Williams, Rob Hoff, Abigail Keem. She's always knowledgeable about stuff. John Pica. We actually had a magician with John Pica being on the show. Mike Pettit was another one. Glenn Porzig.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we love having Glenn on the show. Pete Fry, who is a very accomplished musician, guitar wizard. So that was really cool to get that angle on things from the music side. And, it was we had a bunch of good guests. Mitchell Levy.
Well, this year we went basically the full gamut.
He was superb.
The only thing that we didn't really have on this that has to do with the arts is nobody. We had somebody in every category basically of the arts on a show this year. If you
pretty
think
much,
about it.
I think so.
We had artists, we had filmmakers, we had actors, we had screenplay writers, we had authors, we had musicians, we had you had belly dancers, you had there was magicians, where else are you going to find? We basically covered the gamut.
It was our core, definitely is the writers and the authors. That's our foundation, but we definitely spread our wings, in the creative world to really get some good perspective from other camps of the creative spheres. And that was, I think that was a strength this year for sure. Because there's lots of knowledge and wisdom that can be gleaned from folks in other creative pursuits, and they can certainly give us some insights in the things we do and as writers and authors. But it's that, I think that's an area where we definitely took a good step forward. Yeah, and Rebecca actually, she's commenting in a chat room, but she was on a panel with Peter Womerink at Imaginarium, and she loves him because he's a fellow Zompoc author. I like that term. Zombie apocalypse author. Z-O-M-P-O-C is the word here. Zompoc. I like that. That's cool. And we love you. Love comments from the chat room, as you can tell. Michael, how about you? What are your candid thoughts on the general sense of get or kind of guests we had in 2018?
Well, I think basically just what's been said, they just kind of ran the gamut of creativity and the arts. Like I said before, my favorite that I was a part of were the holiday shows, the Tim Wagner show on Halloween night, and then the Christmas show. I don't know. I like the shows because they were fun, but they were also gave a lot of good good advice, good knowledge, especially Tim's show. So those were probably two of my favorite shows. But we had a lot of interesting guests, a lot of first time guests. There no shortage of we never had a show where we were searching for something to talk about. You know, we were lucky they didn't cut us off every week. So
yeah, we've run over more than once by quite a bit. But I can't wait to ask Holly, because she will remember which one we got cut off on completely, or they just Blog Talk Radio just shut it off.
Yeah, said we're done. Y'all are off the air.
Yes,
that's
all done.
Enough.
That's fun. Oh man, yeah. We even had looking back at Kathy Jackson was on in 2018, and we had looking back at some of these, Carl Moore and Mike Pettit and I thought one of the shows I really enjoyed was Mitchell Levy. Yeah, he comes from an amazing business background, and that was a very informative show with a lot of really good business insights that can be applied to any creative sphere. And every once in a while, I hope we have that type of show in 2019 that can be kind of like a really good broad empowerment kind of episode, that has nuggets that all kinds of creatives can take away from it. And that was one of them, the Mitchell Levy show, I'll say that. And we did cover a lot of topics, too.
I still talk to Mitchell every now and then, so if we want to get him back on and everything, I don't think there'd be a problem getting him back on the show either, if you want to talk to him about some other things. So.
Yeah, no, he was superb. He was a good, good guest. And it was quite a year. And looking forward, I think, we're definitely going to continue that kind of vibe, where we're going to have lots of really top notch pro guests on the show, of course, but we will mix it up, and you can look forward to seeing that kind of mix that we had this year. And we're going to have, every year we tend to get a new intro, which I'm going to tease a little bit, but I will say that a top notch awesome musician who I can neither confirm nor deny that I mentioned tonight is working on a custom intro for us, which should be ready by next week when we have our first 2019 guest on. So that's going to be fun. We have we're going to have our first made for the show intro coming up just shortly here. So you guys didn't even were aware of that probably yet. I just
Very
got
cool.
that word in. Yeah. So Star Chamber Show will have a very slick, snazzy intro piece. That's been made.
So, what is your predictions on you personally for this year, Stephen?
I'm loath to predict because I've seen how years can go, unexpected twists and turns. But all I will say is, the things that I am, really focused on, I want to continue the kind of output that I got back on track on this past year. I think creatively it was one of my better years in the past few on output, I definitely want to at least match or exceed that this year. I definitely
want
to see,
put out what, two books this year? Yeah.
Three print and 8 ebook titles. Yeah, so it was pretty good year. But I definitely want to see Imaginarium grow. I want to see, of course, obviously the press grow with and with the new imprints. I want to see all that, definitely take another big step forward. And this is actually our 10th year of having titles out, because we were actually incorporated in 2008, but the first book in Seventh Star Press did not come out until early 2009. So we're technically hitting the 10th anniversary of the press as far as the public knows, as far as having a title out. So that's kind of cool. And I think, we'll be able to emphasize that a little bit. I just want to, definitely progress on all the spheres that I'm involved in and cautious optimism. I definitely think the quality's there. It's just up to public to respond. If the public wants to take advantage of it or enjoy the work, then that's up to them. But you know, I definitely think the quality's there and all those kinds of things.
Cool. What about you, Michael? Michael?
Well, I'm thinking. Well, I mean, my focus has mainly been on my, the novel that I'm working on. So hopefully I will see that done here and out and in everyone's hands in 2019.
Well, you did have some new releases in 2018. You did have Ave Satani, and you did have right at the cusp of 2018. Came out around Christmas time. You had The City Will Eat You Alive, which technically, you know, did kind of bridge into 2018.
That's true. And so the City Will Eat You Alive was nominated for Best Short Story for Unimagined. So
yes,
that was nice, and it was also named one of the 10 best horror stories of 2017 in the annual P&E Readers Poll. So that was a nice year for those two stories. I did get a lot of positive feedback on both of them. So that was good. I always hate it when when I go all, George R. R. Martin and take forever on a project just because I it's like you have to constantly have stuff coming out, and Steven's been very good at that for the last year, and I used to have two novels and two short stories that would come out every year like clockwork. And recently it's been like, I've still been putting out one or two short stories a year, but the novels have been more every other year. And just because I think that they've gotten a bit more complex in terms of both research and just intricacies of the story. So I feel bad that there are people out there waiting for things, which is why I kind of try to give a gift every now and then of something new, whether it be a short story or an article or a special edition of something. Speaking of which, we are in the process right now of taking pre-orders for a special edition, limited edition hardcover of Zeus's Warriors, book 3 of The Legacy of the Gods. And last year we release the fact that there is a bonus illustration that was not in the paperback version that is amazing. It has to do with a jailbreak that takes place in the book at the hands of a dragon, and that was rendered beautifully by our artists, and this is new for this year, but one of the illustrations in the book that is going to be one of the interior illustrations that was in the paperback is going to be replaced with a brand new illustration for this hardcover edition, and that will be revealed here shortly. I'm not at liberty to give out a lot of detail at the moment, but it will be. I can say this: fans of the Legacy of the Gods books have always gravitated toward or remarked about their love for a certain type of illustration in these books. And they will not be disappointed in the hardcover edition. So, so we'll have more details coming out. I'm sure Stephen's going to be all over that, but I'm very excited by what and I'm going to butcher his name. I always butcher his name, but the artist's first name is Ingar
Adarasa.
Thanks.
Ingar Adarasa.
Ingar Adarasa.
No, you get it. You got it right.
I got it.
And yes.
But,
and this illustration will be sort of set the stage for Michael being our first erotica author with the new erotica imprint at Seven Star Press.
Yeah. So,
well, that's actually not official, so don't panic, folks. But.
Yes, please don't panic.
We really do have a mystery thriller imprint, but no erotica imprint yet.
but you know, it's like
we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it's like this is now the second year in a row. Last year, everybody was coming to me about The Shape of Water and the poster for The Shape of Water and how it was like the illustration that was done for Poseidon's Children.
Or Matt Perry. Somebody
read
Poseidon's Children. That did that movie, I think. No.
I'm not going to go there. I mean, I would love to think that Del Toro is reading my stuff.
I just have to be outlandish on the show so we can get major press coverage with a big controversy, you know, and get our ratings up in the millions.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because people are coming to me and they're like, you should sue. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to sue for, you know, I mean, stuff like that. But I will say this.
That would be brilliant, Michael. You'd be sitting on in the Caribbean right now had you done that.
Well, now this year everybody's coming to me about Aquaman, and I must say I saw Aquaman on New Year's Day, and you know, people had warned me. They said, "Hey, you're gonna see some stuff that's gonna really remind you of your book," and I'm like, in Aquaman, you know, there were a couple of scenes in particular where there's one scene that really struck me, that where they're on a fishing boat and these amphibious monsters are coming on board. That was, you know, reminded me a lot of a scene in Poseidon's Children, But so it's kind of, you know, I'm like, let's keep this trend going. Let's every year around Christmas time, let's have Hollywood release a movie.
Right. Well, let's circulate. Well, the rumor needs to be circulated that Hollywood is, you know, clearly been reading Michael West novels and quietly incorporating the ideas.
I don't mind if they read it. I just wish they would pay me to actually make it, you know.
Yes. Well, yeah, of course. Oh,
but
that's but
yeah,
too good.
I mean,
that's too good.
I just thought it was funny because I was getting emails and like going, you know, people were like, have you seen Aquaman yet? And I'm like going, no, I'm going on New Year's Day. And they're like going, oh. And I'm like, why?
Oh, boy.
Is it bad? And they're
they
like,
read
no,
Poseidon's
no,
Children.
Really
yep.
Yeah. it's like, you know, it's like. They took some scenes out of your book, and I'm like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It was like I was trying to
fantastic.
Wrap my brain thinking of a scene in one of my books that would be in, you know, a DC superhero movie, you know. but yeah, they managed it. In all seriousness, though, you need to see Aquaman, and you need to see it on the biggest screen possible because it is just simply amazing.
Very cool. Well, I had a friend that was kind enough to give me a Regal gift card for Christmas, so I can take Holly and myself to a couple movies thanks to this gift card. So, so I will.
And
I
if you go on Tuesdays, at least here, if you go on Tuesdays here, at least they're $5 movies at the matinee.
Yeah, we don't have too many options like that here in Lexington. It's a pricey market here.
Well,
that's about mortgage the house to go to a movie.
That's Regal, though. That is through all the Regals, as far as I know.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, not
well,
the one.
So you may want to check on that because you might be able to see more movies with that gift card than what you think.
Yes,
so.
good.
But yeah, and we saw Aquaman and we saw the new Mary Poppins Returns.
How is that one?
That one is fun. It's a great family movie. If you liked the original Mary Poppins, you're going to love it. It does have a sense of whimsy about it, and they have a scene where they go into this animated world, and they actually went back and did 2D cell animation, which I applaud them for.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Emily Blunt, she's been getting nominations for both Quiet Place and for Mary Poppins, and I think it would be great if she was nominated for both. She did a really good job in this movie of especially using her face, her facial expressions to convey things that, you know, without really saying a word and just, you know, you could see her gears turning and the fact that she knew more than what she was letting on and whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
she did a really good, and of course the singing and dancing and whatnot. She was excellent at that. And Lin-Manuel, from Hamilton, I can't forget his whole name, but, he did a really good job. And instead of chimney sweeps in this one, it's the guys who used to go around and they would light all the street lights in London at night.
Yes, lamp lighters.
And then they would turn off the gas in the morning. So it's all of them, and there's some really, really neat sequences with them that are well done. But yeah, I mean, bottom line, I mean, if you saw the original Mary Poppins as a child, it really, you know, it has a real nostalgia factor to it, and you know, Daniel would like the whole, you know, turn of the century vibe to it, turn of century London.
See, I saw the original one when it first came out, so.
He knew the
I saw it on
Mary
the silver
Poppins
screen when it
back
first came
in 1900s.
Out.
But
yeah, that's...
yeah it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and you know, it's a little predictable. I mean, I'm not going to give anything away, but there's something that they're looking for, and I saw it like
Does it,
5 minutes.
Is it close to the book, or have you ever read the book?
You know what? I've
the
never
sequel
read
to
the
Mary
book.
Poppins.
I've never read the books.
Okay.
So I can't say whether it is or it isn't, but it's close. I mean, it is. It's very much in the spirit of the original movie. But
it looked that way with the trailers. I mean, I was hoping it would be that way, but.
Yeah. It's very, very much in the spirit of the original movie, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's something for the whole family. I mean, take the kids, and there's a whole musical number they do about you can't. It's kind of, you know, take on, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. There's a whole musical sequence that they do that's really a lot of fun, and it has to do with books. So. I enjoyed that, but yeah, there were a lot of kids, a lot of families in the theater when we saw it, and you know, everybody, you know, gave it a nice ovation when it was done. So it was really good. I saw it after Aquaman, and I was probably still on the high from Aquaman. you know, Aquaman, they even go so far as to have a moment in there that calls to mind the opening of Super Friends. And,
oh my God!
And when that happened, I'm big enough to admit that I think I had tears in my eyes.
That's
it was,
awesome.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. But yeah, it's I get into this whole conversation with Tony Eckery, you know, at various cons about the, you know, the whole DC versus Marvel thing. You know, movie wise, I think Marvel has had it, you know, on lockdown since the beginning. And DC really has been, you know, struggling to try to keep up. I thought, you know, Wonder Woman was excellent, and this is another huge step in the right direction. They both had their dark moments and serious moments, but yet they had a lot of fun. And this one has a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. A lot of great set work. A lot of great special effects, and you want to see it on the biggest screen possible, because when they go into Atlantis and some of these other shots. This, you know, full-blown undersea war that's going on. It's just, it just has to be seen on a huge screen.
That's awesome. But I personally think Hollywood needs to expand beyond Marvel and DC and have, like, Poseidon's Children on the big screen by Michael West, or Rising Ash by R.G. Westerman, or those. Yeah, we need to get more stuff out there. We need to expand this. And people will see yours and go, oh, my God, he influenced a lot of Hollywood films. So
well, it always used to gripe me when Grimm was on TV, because I would write about a fantastical creature in one story or another, and it never failed that you know, luckily it was after they were published, but Grimm would do an episode on it, you know, and I'm like, well, I just did that story.
Crazy times.
Everybody's diving into the same mythological pools, I guess.
Yeah, but you gotta, and nothing new under the sun, but you gotta put your own stamp and voice on it, and then you can make it yours. You know, that's the way I look at it. And you certainly do, Michael, so march forward. Be productive.
That's what I'm trying. That's my New Year's resolution is to write more.
Good.
So.
And then Daniel's is to save his work as he goes. That's Daniel's New Year's resolution.
Well, usually what happens is after I do a chapter or two, I'll send it off to my pre-readers via email, and that way, if anything happens, I'm paranoid about that. I've always been paranoid about that, but especially after Daniel's story, I've always done that where, you know, I'll do a couple of chapters and I'll send it off to my pre-readers via email. And that way, if worse comes to worse and I lose it, I've got that email where I can at least bring up, you know, everything I've done up to that point.
Very cool.
That sounds like nice way of doing it, you know. Unfortunately, I didn't do that this year.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get on.
And then my editor and I have a little nice, back and forth thing going, where usually I give her like huge chunks. Like I'll give her like the first third of the novel, and then by the time she's done editing the first third, I'm done with the next third of the novel, and I can give that to her. And that way it's not like I'm sitting around, you know, waiting for her, or she's sitting around waiting for me. It's like we're both kind of working in tandem.
Yeah, that would be the amazing Amanda DeBord, who I have to congratulate became a mother in 2018. So
yes,
Amanda did. Yes. So yeah, she's give a shout out to her and her new little one.
Sugar shock.
Yep, a little sugar shock. But yeah, she's definitely an awesome editor, and I've had the privilege of working with her on my Rising Dawn saga, and definitely can vouch for how thorough she is. Yeah, definitely a good one.
She became a mother after she read Michael's books, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Inspires. And Michael increases the populations of countries that read his books. Yeah. Yeah, definitely gets people going, yeah.
Well, I have had people thank me for for writing certain scenes. So.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So what you're getting at is in 2019 you want more erotica on the Star Chamber show. That's what you want to see.
Yeah. Well, it's
well, me and Michael know nothing about that. Yeah, so.
Well,
I have to leave it up to Stephen.
It's funny because I've actually backed away from those scenes in the past because, you know, it's like I for instance, there was supposed to be a semi-erotic scene in the book Spook House, and it just the characters just didn't go there. It just didn't feel right. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it's funny because by and large, the scenes in the Legacy of the Gods books, while they are, you know, fantastical and you know, crazy, by and large, they're not there for shock value. They usually add something to the story, or you know, I was really, really heartened when the reviews came in on the original Poseidon's Children, and they said, you know what, this is probably the only love scene that I can think of that is actually essential to the story. And I was like, yes, thank you.
Well, hey, I'm going to chime in here from the chat room real quick, and Robert Osborne has said that he wants to prove he can. He's working on an erotica project, so there you go. And Kenzie, of course, is reminding us of her Kleenex packets swag that she has at her table. Kenzie has steamy stuff in her book, so the fact that she had Kleenex packets in her swag on her table is just epic. I mean,
does
we talked about that on the Star Chamber show.
That was the best marketing I have ever seen. When I saw that, I'm like, my God.
When I saw that author's fair last year, I was like up in the LaGrange. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, kudos.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, all right. Yeah, the verdict is in. Co-hosts, chat room participants, everybody who would like to see more erotica on the Star Chamber show. We're going to work on this now.
Unfortunately, I don't write any erotica. They just, you know. My characters do, but I don't.
Right. Too funny. Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
well,
it would be fun for them to see it on the radio.
We have about 90 seconds left of the live show. So any last things that you guys want to mention on as far as like for next year, what to folks can look forward to in the crazy world we have on Star Chamber show?
Next year for me this year actually will be, hopefully I'll have 3 new books out plus a new cookbook out. That is my goal right now.
Very cool. Michael?
Well, still plugging away. Hopefully we'll have the final chapter in the Legacy of the Gods novel ready for this year. But definitely we'll have the special edition, signed limited edition, only 75 copies made, hardcover that is currently up for pre-order, and you can pre-order it at 7starpress.com. You can also go to my website, bymichaelwest.com, bymichaelwest.com, and there's links to it there. But get your orders in because I'll be signing each and every one of them, and there's only 75 made, and once they're gone, they are gone.
And we will continue
but
a little
one,
bit after
one thing
for
that
a little
we're gonna
bonus
have to...
material, but we're about done on the – we're about to cross over into the bonus show. Thank you for listening, folks, on the live portion. And
one of the things that we're going to have to do, though, this year, Michael, is give, you know, Stephen enough of our books to work on that he doesn't make us look so bad in the writing end of it.
Boss Stephen down with our projects so that he can't do it when it wasn't of his own. Yes, that's...
<You know, look. laughs> Because I feel like he has 30 books in him this year, you know, considering he put out like 20, you know, this last year. So.
Right.
I'm determined to have a productive year. I definitely hope to, yeah, definitely for both you guys. I mean, first of all, you, Daniel, save your, you know, like I said, don't lose any work. Keep going forward. And then seeing Michael come back to full throttle again. And that would be awesome.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Well, luckily, with mine, I keep, you know, paper documents of the pre-notes and everything before I put it in the computer. So it's just taking those and redeveloping the story from it and stuff. But, you know, anybody that's ever, you know, been a writer and everything and has ever lost any work, they understand my plight. But, you know, it's just something that happens. And... Yeah, you learn from your mistakes, right, Stephen?
Yes, you do. God, I mean, yeah, I've made many, but I always try to glean a lesson from every mistake I've made. So that's part of growing.
Yeah,
we'll get it that way.
See, I'm even though I'm the oldest in the group, I'm the youngest author in the group. So, you know, I've still got a lot of mistakes to make. So,
I don't know if you mentioned it because it's so close to talking about mistakes, but because I think it's going to be epic. But David Sheridan is actually completing a calendar featuring our fourth co-host, Holly. It's going to be called the Holly Bonnet Calendar. And you ever seen Holly wear her bonnet and the fun online stuff we've done with her on that? This is a whole calendar on that theme. And he actually... did a little bit of a photo shoot with her over the holidays with the Holly bonnet on, and yes, it's a clean calendar. Don't get dirty, folks. But it's but you're gonna die when you see the stuff. It's so funny.
Well,
it is so funny.
Well, you know, Lacey Marie, if she listens to this later, she'll be pleased to know that among the presents I got from my wife were a shirt that says, "This is my Hallmark movie watching shirt."
Nice.
And a coffee mug that says, "This is my Hallmark Christmas movie watching mug."
Oh, heck yeah.
And then,
wow.
And then I got a pair of socks that has writing on the bottom, and it says, "If you can read this, leave me alone. I'm watching Hallmark movies."
Oh my God, that is... Now, I saw 10. My count for December was 10. I saw 10 Christmas movies on the Hallmark channel. So I did pretty good.
I hit
double digits.
I saw as many as I ever have. Zero.
My thing is that I keep seeing the same parts of movies. You know, I'll walk into a room and it's like she's watching a movie and I've seen that part of that movie like 3 or 4 times, but I've never seen the entire movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll
just give you more to explore in the future, Michael.
I mean, it's not like I don't know what's going to happen, but.
Yeah. It was good value for me. It was 60 cents a movie because I bought the app for $5.99 for the month, and I saw 10 movies at that price, 59.9 cents a movie. So that's not too bad. Good entertainment value.
That's a good value for the Hallmark movies, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I did see the new, was it Kurt Russell? Christmas movie that's on Netflix. And it was, oh, that was good.
Oh.
I had a lot of, that was cool.
Where
he plays Santa.
Yeah, my son saw that and said I needed to watch it, but I didn't have a chance to watch it. I had an awesome experience on Friday the 21st of December. Went down to the Artcraft movie theater in Franklin, Indiana, and they showed the ultimate Christmas movie, Die Hard, on the big screen.
Yes, we have established that is indeed a Christmas film.
Yes, and it was a sold out theater, and everybody cheered for every high point, every you know line or every it was awesome. It was awesome. It's like everybody had seen the movie a million times, and it's funny because they always give a long distance award to the people who traveled the furthest to see the movie, and there was a tie between somebody from Melbourne, Australia, and somebody from Mumbai, India. And
wow.
One of the things that they always ask the people when they get the long distance award is, did they know that the movie was available on DVD? And the guy from Melbourne said yes, and then they go to the guy from Mumbai, and he said, I actually watched it on the plane.
Oh, my God. Too good.
Yeah. So it was a good time. It was a good time.
You have the coolest theater scene there, evidently, because every time you talk about the crowds and the this and the that with the movies you go to, it sounds like a blast. I mean, compared to what I see when I go out.
Yeah, I mean, we have an arts theater at one of the higher end malls up here that actually a friend of mine is a manager of, but they show the more prestige films, the dramas, the Oscar films, the foreign films, but occasionally they'll get some really good.
So like Rocky Horror Picture Show and stuff like that.
Well, they have really good midnight shows. They'll do a summer midnight circuit where they show films. And last summer they showed Suspiria. My Neighbor Totoro and things like that. They showed Akira, which I'd never seen Akira.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
And then this last October, they had the Halloween circuit, and I got to see the Japanese movie House
mm-hmm.
on the big screen. And if you've ever seen that, that is like if a 10-year-old took acid.
Wow.
And was given crayons and stuff. This is the movie that they would come up with. And it is totally, absolutely bonkers. It's like, I had never seen the movie. I've seen things about the movie, but I had never seen the movie as a whole. And my son knew of it, but really hadn't seen anything from it. So I took my son to see it. When it was over, my son looked at me and, like, ran his hands down his face and said, what the hell did we just watch?
That's awesome. Oh, Lord. I can honestly say I have not been on a real vacation in over 6 years, and I think that what I'm going to do is take a vacation in Indianapolis to go hang out with Michael West, because he has such a cool scene going up there, evidently. Crazy fun movies and all kinds of stuff. I need just to come visit.
There you go.
Yes, I can pull it off because Indianapolis I can reach on my budget. So
there you go.
It's doable.
Yeah, we should.
God, it sounds fun, man. Oh Lord.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great theater.
Yeah.
Sounds like research, Stephen.
Yeah.
You got to research where to bring out Raiden Valkyrie yet, and you know what?
Right.
You know.
Figure out a way to fit it into it.
The Artcraft is one of the theaters that actually inspired Cinema of Shadows. So It's actually come a long way since when I first started going. It's like when I first started going, the theater was bought by a historical preservation society, and so it's a non-for-profit that runs it, and all the ticket sales and everything go to the restoration of the theater and other historic homes and sites in the Franklin area. And but they have restored the original neon. They have redone the entire marquee with LED lights that chase now, and the marquee is better than it was in the 20s. But they're hoping to have the entire theater fully restored by 2020 for the 100th anniversary of the theater.
Nice. Oh, wow. If you ever make it to Lexington, we do have a great theater, the Kentucky Theater on Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
Where we had
premiere. I've been there. Well, I actually saw...
Daniel can vouch for it. Daniel's there. He saw our premiere there. But it's gorgeous. And they have a smaller theater that's of the same style, State Theater, which is part of the same building. Watching movies in either is a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great. I actually saw when I was down there a few years ago, I saw the movie The Artist in that theater, which is a silent movie. It was really cool to see that movie in that theater because it was almost like, you know, it felt like you were going back in time.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a what's the right word? It's a heritage kind of place that needs to be protected. It definitely is. Yeah, in this day and age where unfortunately some places get torn down.
Yes, I've also seen Clockwork Orange in that theater, and I saw Evil Dead 2 in that theater, which was the first time I'd seen Evil Dead 2 on the big screen. But it is. It's a really, really cool theater.
Well, you know,
and they do
show
Rocky,
you have no hotel costs.
Well,
you can stand Holly, myself, and Dubious. You have no hotel cost in Lexington, so you gotta feel free to come down anytime for that.
All right, I appreciate that. I used to go to Scarefest all the time, and I actually haven't been in a few years because the last few years, all the guests that they've had have been guests that have been at numerous Horror Hounds and other shows.
Other things have been at, right.
Yeah, they haven't had anybody that I'm like, oh, I have to get down there like they used to. So maybe this year that will change. But gearing up for Horror Hound here in March. They're going to have Meatloaf there. That's going to be awesome.
No way.
Yeah.
Meatloaf? Oh, my God. I can't wait to tell Holly this. Oh, my God. She's going to die. Oh, my God. Literally.
Yeah, Horror Hound Cincinnati in March. They're gonna. One of the guests is Meatloaf. So I will get him to sign my Rocky Horror poster.
Very cool. Oh Lord, man, you have an adventurous life, Michael. It's very fun to hear. But well. I didn't want to keep you guys going too late tonight because it's our first show of the new year, and obviously we're going to be having some guests and some of our longer shows, you know, resuming soon. But is there anything else you guys want to cover about 2018 or 2019, the show or anything before we round this thing out?
Well, I just hope
not that I can think of right this second.
I just hope that everybody has a productive year and that by the time we get to Imaginarium here in October that we've got a lot of things to celebrate.
Well, we will, and some guest announcements coming up that Michael will be going crazy about, and I'm just going to leave it at that because it's going to be fun to watch Michael's reaction. You'll be getting some posters signed in Imaginarium. That's all I'll say. So, I love it. But that's forthcoming. I think we'll get that announcement out next week. But
anyway, you're going to have Jacqueline Bisset from the Deep there.
I can't reveal everything. I can't reveal everything. But let's say that Michael could get a poster signed on the anniversary, a special anniversary of a major horror film. And that's all I can say right now. we'll reveal that very shortly. And it's a lock. It's a go.
Awesome.
But, well, that yeah, I'm looking forward to a great 2019, and I think the show is going to be a lot of fun. And I think we're going to have some amazing episodes coming up with some of the guests and things we're going to do on it. And, yeah, look out for that new show intro. We'll have some snazzy music to add. Hopefully next week we'll get to debut that.
Awesome.
But other than that,
I hope to have a wonderful, you know, healthy, productive year this year, and hope everybody else does too, and appreciate the listeners and people that have made us being here possible in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, happy
and may Hollywood draw from more Michael West books so, you know, they could show his influence.
From your mouth to James Cameron, Steven Spielberg's ears.
but the next phase is we got to get one with like based on a Michael West novel kind of production going. That's what we need.
That's right.
But, yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for a great 2018. It was you guys don't know how much of a peace of mind break for me it is to do the show with you each week. It's a time where I get to sit down, just enjoy the creative world, not have any worries and stress, and have a glass of bourbon, talk shop with you guys, and you know, visit with great guests, you know, interact with great people in the chat room or listeners. And for me, it's a big midweek positive that makes a, you know, big difference in my world, and it actually honestly helps me get through some of the maddening weeks I have to endure as a independent creative. So I appreciate you.
Well, as an independent creative, we appreciate you too, Steven.
Yep.
And we will fight the good fight and make this year. Yeah, as Michael intimated earlier, he has good feelings about this year, so I'm going to stick with that. I like where Michael's going.
There we go.
So take care, and I'll sign off first.
Onward
but, yeah,
and
next
upward.
Week at 9 p.m. Onward and upward, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as always. And, look on our Facebook and our Twitter feed. We'll have information on next week's guests coming up very shortly. And get ready for a great 2019. And I will turn it over to Michael and Daniel to sign off.
All right. Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hope everybody has a great New Year, and may this year be more blessed than ever. Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.